Got a Light by Mark Slade. The people at table 3 were so loud, Philip had ringing in his ears. They were only a few feet from the bar, which was where Philip sat, drinking up the last of his paycheck he just cashed that evening. 3 guys and 2 girls, screaming louder than the casual patron chatter, screaming for the Bears to score a touchdown against the Redskins. Kelly refilled Philip's glass, bending down just enough for her regulars to see her cleavage in hopes they will leave a huge tip. "Too loud for you, Philip?" she said. Philip squinted at the cheers from table 3 when the Bears kicked a field goal, placing them in the lead. "Hell yes," Philip croaked. "I like this place better when it was just a bar, not a sports bar."
"Business is better. We're still open to serve drinks to barflies like you," Kelly said, wiping down the counter.
"I'm no barfly," Philip sneered at her. "I like to drink, that's all."
"Yeah, I know, Philip," she cleared her voice. "I didn't mean you. I meant the ones who are here every night."
Incensed, Philip took a deep breath and quickly released it. "I'm here every night."
"Oh," Kelly giggled nervously. "Yeah."
She left it at that and moved on to a new customer. "Kelly," Philip called out to her, "I need another round."
Kelly came back and refilled his glass and his beer chaser. "Do you need to call your sponsor?"
"You're my sponsor."
Philip drained his glass, followed quickly with the beer chaser.
"Anyway, you're a better bartender."
"Quit looking at my tits, will ya?" Kelly smiled sheepishly.
"Quit putting them out there for me to look at them."
"You're such a pig." Kelly laughed, refilled his glasses.
"Be anything you want if you meet me tonight."
Philip gulped down his drink, followed it with his beer chaser.
"Hell, I'll even wear a dress."
"You can wear Beth's."
Philip made a face. "Low blow, girl."
Beth was his girlfriend. For the better part of their relationship, Beth was the one who had the job and supported them, while Philip tried in vain to make it in the music business, playing bass with several bands that usually broke up within 6 months of their first gig. Beth had been nagging Philip to give her a baby for the last year and a half. The discussions had become very intense since he gave up on music and gotten a job. He wasn't sure if Beth's obsession with having a child with him was a healthy hope for a better life or obtuse psychotic behavior when she stopped taking her meds. Of course, if Beth ever found out about Kelly, the ex, he would wake up with his nuts in a jar on the nightstand by the bed.
"I can't meet you tonight. Louise is coming home. She's been driving for the past 2 weeks."
"Why don't we move into that nice house your aunt left you?"
"Louise hates you. She'd never let you in the front door without staring down the barrel of her shotgun."
"Then run away with me."
"Uh-huh," Kelly sighed. "You blew that deal a few years ago."
"I told you I wasn't the marrying kind."
Philip drank his beer chaser.
"Yeah, so did my daddy. He also said you were a piece of shit."
Philip rubbed his face.
"How does he feel about Louise?"
"He loves her. Finally, someone worthy of going hunting with him on Sundays."
Kelly walked away to attend to other customers.
"I wanted to do that,"
Philip said softly, drank the last of his beer. He felt someone bump him. Philip turned to say something and saw a robust man, with a comb over, passed out. His head was on the bar, hands and arms beside him.
"No reason to say anything to start shit with you, buddy,"
Philip scoffed. A silver flint lighter caught Philip's eye. He remembered his father had one years ago. Even though he didn't smoke, Philip always thought his father looked cool, rolling his thumb across wheel and igniting the flame, before dropping the top, extinguishing it. Philip looked around, slid his hand over and snatched it away from the unconscious man,
He rolled it over and saw an address engraved on the side of the lighter. 2400 Pennywise, 2316.
Weird, Philip said. That's an old candy warehouse, he thought a second, rubbing his chin with a hand. Did they make lighters too?
Philip shrugged, threw down a couple of 20s, hoping that would take care of the bar tab. As he was leaving, he saw a short man in a brown suit and checkered bow tie staring. The man smiled, raised his glass of beer to him. Philip slowly ambled toward the front door of his apartment. He sighed, leveled his head upon the hallway wall that donned unintelligible graffiti.
I don't want to go inside, he said out loud.
The door opened quickly. Beth stepped out into the hallway, arms folded. She was in her black nightie, hair fixed in a ponytail. That meant she'd been waiting for Philip to come home and start making a baby right away.
I knew I heard your footsteps on the stairs, she said, fuming.
Philip stood there, hung his head defeated.
Well, come in, why don't you?
Beth held the door open for him. Philip entered the apartment, dragging his feet. He sat haphazardly in his recliner.
Your supper is on the counter,
Beth said, taking him by the hand and helping him to his feet, then leading him to the kitchen.
I bet it's oysters, Philip said nonchalantly.
Yep,
he sighed.
Oh, oysters again.
Beth directed him to a chair.
Sit,
she demanded.
I'll get your plate ready for you.
She had a devilish grin on her face. She bent over the counter. Her nightie rose up to show Philip her bare backside.
Come and get your muscles, big boy,
Beth cooed. Beth rolled over in bed, cuddled up to Philip.
Wow,
she kissed him. Philip accepted the kiss, disinterested. He kept staring at the ceiling, wishing he was anywhere but with her.
You are fantastic,
Beth sighed.
I guess it does make it better if you wait 2 weeks.
Something in the back of Philip's throat sounded like he agreed with Beth.
I hope this did the trick.
Beth kissed Philip's arm.
You did it twice inside me. Unbelievable. You didn't even have to wait a few hours like normally.
Yeah, I guess that was unusual,
Philip added.
Are you happy, honey?
There was concern in Beth's voice. Philip knew where this conversation was going. They'd had it many, many times before. So he was going to choose his words wisely, try to avoid that argument that always followed.
I'm very happy, Beth.
Philip kissed her.
I can't wait to have a child with you.
Beth eyed him suspiciously.
What?
Nothing.
A smile eventually crossed her thin lips.
This is the first time I've ever heard you say you wanted a child. That's all?
Philip sighed.
Time I grew up. I guess I should clean up too.
Clean up? What do you mean?
Stop drinking. Sell my base.
Philip couldn't believe he heard himself say that. Still, he wanted to avoid an argument. But wait, what was coming out of his mouth was not really how he felt. Or was it? He couldn't make up his mind.
Does that mean you'll consider the job my dad has for you in Toronto?
Beth bit her lower lip. That was one way their arguments began. She was testing the waters to see if he really meant the other things.
Yeah, Philip said. I've been thinking about that a lot.
Beth gasped. No way, she thought.
Okay, she said softly.
You think he'll help us get a house?
I'm pretty sure, Philip.
Beth laughed.
What's so funny?
I can't believe it, she said.
Can't believe what?
Philip was a little incensed.
I finally domesticated you.
Beth laughed again. Philip couldn't believe it either. In the morning,
Philip rose early after having unsettling dreams that did not include a nice big house, a nice new car, and a family with Beth. They were strange, unrecognized dreams with images from blurry Polaroids, featuring faces of people he didn't know or events he didn't remember. After pouring a cup of coffee and fishing out his uniform from the dirty laundry and spraying it down with Febreze, Philip turned the TV on and saw a report on an arson. The TV reporter was a mall woman with large black hair with a terrible lisp. Philip turned up the volume. Last night, a candy warehouse on the 2400 block A Pennywise Road caught fire at approximately 11:20 p.m., the reporter said. The blaze rose 10 feet high. Luckily, no one was injured. No merchandise was lost since Hunnicutt Candies folded 10 years ago, and the building had been virtually abandoned since then. If you remember, Ron, last year Get-Go Beverages, tried to purchase the warehouse. The real estate company Hartford & Sons, who owns the property, shot down the multi-million dollar bid. Then, 6 months later, a nasty lawsuit from Get-Go ensued. The court case is ongoing, but who knows how things will end. Now that is destroyed. Philip heard a loud squeal from the bedroom. He ran in to find Beth, completely naked, jumping up and down on their bed.
What the hell is going on?
Philip said, out of breath.
We did it!
Beth screamed, throwing a pillow at him.
We did what?
He had never seen Beth this animated, unless they were having sex. She was not the type to show emotions, unless it was her very high highs or very low lows. Not even an outburst of laughter at something they watched on TV.
We did it! We did it! We did it!
Beth bounced off the bed and landed perfectly on her feet, then rushed to Philip, tossing her arms around his neck, kissing him wildly.
Will you tell me what we did, please?
Philip said in between Beth's kisses.
We're pregnant, Beth said.
Stunned, Philip pushed past her, to find the bed to sit before he fell to the floor.
Already?
He asked. His bulge, just as that one vein on his forehead showed, wherever he was stressed.
Well,
Beth shrugged, sat next to him on the bed.
We have been trying for a while. It just caught up to us.
She laughed.
Oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. Isn't it wonderful, Philip?
Without flinching or even trying, Philip heard himself say,
Of course it is. I'm so happy.
Philip purposely left the lighter at home, but at lunch, reaching into his pocket for 2 quarters for the soda machine, his fingers found the lighter before the change. Philip was dumbfounded. Maybe, just maybe, I forgot to leave it at home. He tried to rationalize it. Even when he distinctly remembered laying the lighter on his coffee table by the remote control.
Just too weird,
he said as he sat on the bench in front of McCulkey's store by the pier, where he always ate his lunch. He turned the silver lighter over and saw a different address was written on it. 4600 West Broad. Philip wasn't sure what place that was. He rarely went to that side of the city. Not only because of the drug-riddled area, the fact that everything bad in the news always occurred in that vicinity. What if, he thought, another fire breaks out there? Philip began to panic.
Okay, he bellowed.
People passing by gave him dirty looks. Philip didn't even notice.
Now it's really getting weird.
He walked over to the edge of the pier and threw the lighter as hard as he could. The lighter disappeared into the river currents, sinking quickly. Philip sighed, lowered his head.
It's over with, thank God.
His cell phone went off. He felt for it in his back pocket, retrieved it nervously, almost dropping it. He swiped the screen and saw that Chad Jennings was calling. Chad was a drummer in the last band Philip was in. After a year or so arguing about everything, the band broke up.
"Chad? That is odd," he said. "I haven't heard from him in a year."
He waited another second before answering.
"Chad, how are you?"
"How's it going, Philip? How's civilian life?" Chad chuckled.
"Who's saying I'm doing that? Maybe I'm gigging in a jazz band."
"If that's true, then all the rumors I've heard about you working in a warehouse are all lies." He chuckled again. Philip rolled his eyes.
"Partial lies, Chad, partial. I'm glad you're gigging then. Look, I called because I need to talk to you."
"Shit, Chad." Philip cleared his throat.
"I'm in the middle of rehearsal. You remember that demo we did?"
Chad interrupted.
"Yeah, sounded like crap."
"Well, a rep from Sony Universal didn't think so."
What? You're kidding."
Philip nearly choked on his words.
"I was in a bar in Tacoma. Me and Rich were gigging with Low Five, just filling in until their guitarist and drummer got out of jail, and I thought you threw the tape in the river. I was rummaging through my bag to get my wallet, and it fell out. This guy picked it up, saw on the CD it was a demo. He asked about it. I was cagey at first. He told me who he was, and yeah, I let him take it because I really didn't believe him, and I was done with chokehold. Yesterday, this guy calls me. He wants to offer us a contract."
Philip didn't know what to say. The line went dead for a moment.
"Philip? Hey, Philip, you there?"
"Yeah, Chad. I'm here."
"Anyway, I'm calling all the guys. I need to call Mike. Getting chokehold back together, buddy. We're going to be rich and famous."
Chad hung up. Philip stood there, lost in thought. He couldn't believe it.
"My life is going to change, and for the better," he thought.
Philip felt something tap his right leg from inside his pants pocket. He reached in and retrieved the silver lighter. Philip needed a drink. Kelly leaned in, showing her tits to him. She watched Philip suck down a bottle of beer and a whiskey sour in less than 3 minutes.
"You really should consider quitting drinking," she smiled. "Your liver will thank you."
"My liver can go fuck itself. What I need is a drink. I need one or two to start dying," Philip told her.
Kelly scoffed. "Jesus, not this pathetic speech again."
"No, Kelly, you don't understand."
"Oh, I understand, believe me. I also know that you like to run away from responsibility."
"No, I don't."
Philip was not only insulted, he was hurt by that comment.
"Yeah, Philip, honey, you do. Look what happened to us."
Kelly wiped down the bar, shook her head.
"So what happened to us?"
Philip shrugged.
"You couldn't get a job. I supported you while you and whatever band you were in chased the American dream. Whenever that dream became tangible, you would do something to screw it up."
"What'd you do? Take an honesty pill? Even if it hurts people, it rolls off your tongue. This is a different Kelly Wilkes who would do anything or say anything to keep discomfort from the one she loved, or not loved for that matter,"
Philip said. Looked at his distorted visage in the bottom of an empty glass.
"You seem different."
"I feel different. I gotta take care of these college guys. Big tippers. Go home, Philip. Beth is waiting for you."
Philip felt in his pants pocket, found the silver lighter.
"What the fuck?"
Kelly found her way back over to Philip. Philip quickly placed the lighter back in his pocket. She had a disappointing look on her face.
"What?"
Philip asked nervously.
"Got something to tell you."
Kelly sighed, brushed a strand of hair out of her eyes. "Promise you won't get upset?"
"That's not fair, Kelly. You know if I get upset."
"Okay, Philip."
She threw her hands up. "I'll just tell you." She waited a moment, mustered a smile.
I'm pregnant.
What?
Philip screamed.
Yep, I'm with your child. And, that's all I had to tell you.
Did you tell Louise? There was a hint of fear in Philip's voice.
Yeah, Kelly said. I told her. I had to.
What did she say?
She said thanks. Kelly nodded. We wanted a child together. But,
you touch me again, and she's going to break you in half.
Kelly laughed. Philip breathed a sigh of relief. There were footsteps behind Philip. He turned and saw the man in the checkered bow tie and brown suit standing behind him. The man that saw him steal the silver lighter. The man had a strange half-smile on his face. A look that he had a secret and he wasn't going to tell anyone.
Excuse me, miss.
The man chuckled, readjusted his glasses on the bridge of his nose.
There was a gentleman here last night, rather round, robust, in a black suit, comb over.
Yeah? Kelly looked incredulously at the man. He was here. Why?
Well, I gave him a 50 to break and he just left.
The man whined. Oh, boy. Kelly shook her head. You call the cops?
No, ma'am.
The man rolled his eyes.
I keep hoping to run into him. He seems so desperate for money. I like to help people in need. All I had was that 50.
You won't get your money back now, buddy, Kelly told him, unless you go to the graveyard to collect it.
I'm sorry?
The man looked confused.
I think I misheard you.
The guy you're looking for, mister, is dead. He died right where Philip is sitting. Kelly pointed. Philip jumped off the stool and sat on the one next to it. He died from alcohol poisoning. The man gasped.
Well, I'll be damned.
At that moment, another man ran inside the bar, his hands flailing in the air.
Hey, he screamed. Hey, turn on the TV.
Lively tonight, Kelly exclaimed.
Hey, Kelly,
the guy called out to her as he sat on the stool.
Turn the TV on.
He stopped talking to catch his breath.
You know St. Joseph's at church on West Broad? It's on fire. Holy shit. Flames rising to the sky.
Philip turned his back to everyone. He carefully took the silver lighter from his pocket. He saw St. Joseph's address printed on the side of the lighter. 4600 West Broad. Too much was going on in Philip's life right at the moment. An ex-girlfriend pregnant. Current girlfriend pregnant. Ex-bandmates wanting to get back together with the potential of making a record. But the object in his pocket could be the cause of arsons in the city. Philip wanted to run away. Too much stress. Too much responsibility standing on his shoulders. Weird thing is, Philip didn't want a drink. His hands didn't even shake, even when he thought about grabbing a beer in the convenience store. He bought milk instead. Milk? He thought as he finished the carton off. Fucking milk? If the guys in the band saw him, they would laugh. Sitting in his car, watching people walk by, he wondered how they handled their daily lives.
Maybe I should just accept things as they are, he said. Things will work themselves out. I just need to get rid of this fucking lighter.
Philip rolled down the window of his car, threw out the silver lighter. It bounced off the concrete sidewalk and rolled into the next parking spot. A Chevrolet Suburban pulled in, pinning the lighter between its tires and the sidewalk.
Good, Philip chuckled. Maybe someone else will find it, and it's out of my hair.
Walking up the stairs to his apartment, Philip's phone buzzed. He had a text from Chad. Chad.
Hey, man, don't come to the band meeting. We're talking, and we realize we don't want you involved.
Sorry, man. You're just too erratic sometimes. Emotions too out of whack for us. Hey, you'll make it with another band. Again, sorry, man.
Fuck!
Philip screamed. He stayed in the hallway for a good hour, thinking about things. He decided to go in. Beth was waiting for him, arms crossed.
"I don't know how to tell you this, Philip," Beth said.
I've met someone else."
She sat on the bed, lowered her head in her hands, and wept. Philip leaned against the wall, stared at his shoes.
"You've met someone?"
He nodded.
"Yes,"
Beth said in between sobs.
"Anybody I know?"
"No,"
she barely managed. Her eyes met his.
"You don't need to know the details."
"Very nondescript." "Nondescript," she says. "How long after we were making a child had you been with us?"
"Guy, okay. Guy, man, not everyone is like your ex, Philip. I like men, okay?"
Okay. I was just giving everyone the benefit."
"Stop trying to be understanding. Throw something. Break things. Curse at me. Dare I say it? Hit me."
Beth screamed. Philip remained calm, water over his back.
"No,"
he shrugged.
"I don't have any anger toward you. I'm not sure how to feel."
"Oh, you're so pathetic,"
Beth announced.
"Yeah,"
Philip agreed.
"I am. So what about the baby?"
I don't want it, Philip,"
Beth said.
"What?"
Disbelieving, but bemused as well, Philip couldn't help but laugh.
"You were on my ass for 5 years to have a child. We make one, and all of a sudden..."
"I've realized I don't want children. My right to decide."
Philip laughed, walked to the front door.
"Your right to be crazy, too,"
he yelled to her.
"I feel sorry for that someone you met. They don't know what they're up against."
Philip slammed the front door as he left. He went to the bar, looking for Kelly.
"She's not here,"
Dom said. Philip hadn't seen Dom in a year or so, and couldn't believe how much he had changed. Dom used to be Philip's other bartender at Flighty's, a retro 80s bar he frequented when he didn't want to see Kelly because old feelings for her had stirred inside him. Dom looked older now. He had shaved his head. That long ponytail was gone. So too were the jewelry, earrings, and bracelets. The long beard down to his chest was now just a goatee.
"Yes, man," Dom continued. "Kelly left town. I heard she and her old lady went on the road, driving a rig, seeing the West, California and all of those spots, driving Route 66. So I heard. You want a whiskey sour?"
"No,"
Philip sighed.
"I'll just take a Coke."
Don smiled at him.
"You're shitting me," he said. "You quit drinking?"
Dom laughed, shook his head.
Yeah, no, hell, I don't know,"
Philip said. He felt in his pants pocket for those loose dollars he'd gotten when he bought a hot dog earlier. He found them, and the silver lighter.
"Hey, no skin off my nose, dude. Here you go."
Dom poured the Coke in a tall, clear glass and started to set it down when the lighter in Philip's hand caught his eye. Dom had a weird look on his face, fear and disbelief. He took a step backwards.
"Where the hell did you get that?" "The lighter?"
Philip asked, his darting back and forth from the lighter to Dom. Philip coughed, cleared his throat.
"I found it in the parking lot, in front of the bar." "Yeah, that lighter. Whoa."
Dom swallowed, his voice shaking.
"You need to get rid of it, Philip." "You know about this?"
"Yeah, my old man was a biker, you know," Dom said.
"Yeah, I knew Gary.
He's told me. On his travels, my dad did things that he was never proud of, in and out of jail when he was younger.
Yeah, Philip said. He's told me a few of those stories.
He had a lot of odd stuff happen that he witnessed. He came across a fella who was a cop. He worked a case of a man who had a lighter like that. That guy could never get rid of that lighter, no matter what he did. That silver lighter with Latin written on the side of it never left him. Buildings would catch fire no matter where he went. Canada, Mexico, Europe. Never by his own hand. Just wherever he was, buildings would go up in flames. Finally, the police killed him as he ran from them, and that silver lighter was in his hand as the police inspected the body. Moments later, that silver lighter disappeared from his hands right in front of their eyes. Philip gasped. The lighter felt warm in his hands and grew hotter until he dropped it on the bar counter.
Dom, what does it say now?
The Latin. Dom inhaled sharply and slowly exhaled.
And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There's an address here. Read it, will you?
201 C. Pembleton. That building burned down this morning. Philip nodded.
Of course it did.
He felt a hand on his shoulder. He turned to find two men in trench coats and two uniformed police officers. One of the men in the trench coat spoke.
Are you Philip DeGuise?
Philip had a wry smile on his face.
You know it, buddy.
He nodded to the man.
The one and only.
I think you should come with us, the man said.
The other man flashed a badge.
We have a lot of questions, and you have all of the answers.
Philip showed them the silver lighter.
Can I bring this along?
He chuckled.
It's become my good luck charm.
At the police station, several men in ugly ties and disheveled clothing screamed at Philip. They pleaded with him. They fed him breakfast. They threatened him and his family. They wanted to use their fists. But logic stood in the way. They wanted him to sign a confession. Philip kept quiet. He didn't utter a word the whole time. If they had him cold, as they put it, then the police didn't need a confession. He didn't even speak when he was asked if he understood his rights. He didn't say a word about the strange occurrences relating to that silver lighter. He sat in the chair, handcuffed to the desk, smiling at the police for 3 hours. The door opened and a shadowy figure stepped inside, giggling. The man in the checkered bow tie walked softly to where Philip was sitting. A plainclothes detective approached him aggressively and with a wave of a hand. The detective's facial expression became blank. The detective wandered off to another room.
Hello.
The man in the checkered bow tie gave Philip a toothy smile.
My name is Benjamin Crossfield.
He removed his pork pie hat and pulled up a chair. He sat down gingerly, giggled.
My friends call me Benny.
He sighed, giggled again.
Tis, boys will be boys, eh, Philip?
How do you know my name?
Oh, Philip, that is a silly question for a man who has so many other pressing questions.
Benny said,
you saw me steal this lighter?
Philip held it up.
I did. I was very intrigued, if not amused. My friend had already received the lighter from me. He was unhappy with his life. He had aspirations of operating his own diner, fallen in love with a neighbor of his. He was tired of not getting ahead in life, as he put it. He wanted one last drink. Swore he'd never touch a drop.
He sure didn't that night in the bar. Drank himself to death. Well, no complaints here. That was an easy soul to steal. Take back to my master. I look up from my Roy Rogers.
Benny giggled.
You took that silver lighter from his hands. Why, Philip, why?
I don't know. I felt compelled to take it, Philip said.
You're the devil?
No,
Benny cackled.
Far from it. Though I have had the pleasure of meeting him once, he's not all it's cracked up to be. My people and he are not on good terms, you might say. As a matter of fact, my lord and he hate each other. Why is the lighter burning those buildings? This lighter?
Benny held up the lighter, and Philip searched his hands.
How did you?
Philip laughed and nodded.
The lighter didn't burn those buildings down. You did.
No, I didn't. Anyway, there's no evidence. Not even street cameras have footage.
Hey, Captain,
a uniformed officer called.
They found the video of him blazing.
The police officer looked at Philip and laughed.
They got you, asshole.
How'd you do that?
Philip screamed, tried to free himself from the handcuffs.
The video didn't exist until you came here.
That's a silly question. To answer the other question, it's all about real estate.
Benny laughed.
What? Burning down buildings? That church was a historical landmark. Before that, it was a place where they hung witches. So what? Look.
Benny took a card from his breast pocket and tossed it to Philip.
I have something you will need in hell.
Philip read the word. Wormwood Prophet Society.
Hell? What the fuck do you mean?
Benny lunged at Philip, placed both of his hands on his chest. Steam rose as Philip fell into a series of convulsions. Benny giggled as he saw Philip's eyes roll into the back of his head. Benny felt life leaving Philip's body. He breathed in the mist. He had a new soul for his master. Benny left the police station, whistling an ancient ditty he heard last time he was at the temple of the Wormwood Prophet Society.